Well, good evening, everybody. A little bit small in numbers, but that's okay. I was talking to Phil briefly, and I was talking about how fortunate we are and how blessed we are to serve in a church that when somebody's out, we can fill spots. Savannah probably hasn't done the PowerPoint too often, but she learned it so that she can, you know, help out when it's needed. Phil's doing sound. I know that Barb's got up here and sang when we were out with COVID. And filling spots is huge. And I was thinking about that on the drive over here. Is whether Jimmy's out, Phil's out, I'm out, Phil Jones out, anybody's out, we have somebody that's willing to step in and say, hey, we'll take care of it. We'll do it. Jimmy called me on Friday and said, hey, I need you to preach on Wednesday. Great. He called Phil on Friday, I would imagine, said, Phil, I need you to preach on Sunday. It's awesome. And it's cool that that we're able to get God's word out. Most churches, I would imagine, probably shut down with numbers this small and having a senior pastor out and saying, hey, you know, it would be best if we just didn't preach this week, didn't get the gospel out this week, and just, you know, focused on our health. And I don't think anybody would blame them. I don't think anybody does blame them because it's happened. We've had to do it. But with where we're at and how we're, navigating through COVID, it's really cool to see. And it's really a pleasure to serve in this church house, being able to share God's word with you. But, you know, as good as sharing God's word is, not everybody likes it. Not everybody wants to hear it. Not everybody is receptive to it, to the Holy Spirit. Not everybody likes hearing what they're doing wrong. Not everybody likes hearing the truth. Not everyone likes hearing that Jesus did come to die for them. And Jesus did come to save them. And he did die on that cross so that they didn't have to face that cross. And they didn't have to face hell. But still people reject it. Still people say, nope, don't want any part of it. And then when they die and they're at the judgment, then they think, man, I wish I would have listened. But in this world, we have two choices. We can be separate from the world and be persecuted by them, or we can fit in and be loved by them. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. In chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, Paul is writing Timothy this letter. And we'll be in chapter 3, verses, we're going to focus on verses 10 through 12. So if you guys have your Bibles, you can join me there. But I'll fill you in on verses 1 through 9. So Paul's writing this letter, and he's saying, basically, in 1 through 9, that the world is a lost place. People in the world are going to act as we would expect them. Not godly, it says in 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of, and the list goes on and on and on. And on. But us as Christians, we're called to be separate from that world. So how can we live in this world? How can we exist in this world but be separate from this world? And we're going to talk about that. The first thing we got to do is we got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can be in this world but not of this world. It's the only way. Okay, so join with me, or turn with me to 3:10. And I'll pick it up here. And this is Paul telling Timothy. So he goes through this list of things and he says, Paul talking to Timothy, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we just pray that though we're small in number tonight, physically here, God, I pray that your word can reach those who are watching from home, that your word can touch our hearts and help us to live a more godly, more righteously for you, God, because we are made by you for you, Lord. I just want to ask a blessing on everybody here and everybody who's watching, that their lives might be changed because of this. Not because me and what I'm going to say, but because the power of your word and your Holy Spirit and how you choose to allow that to work. We love you and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So if we're commanded by God's word, which we are, to be separate from the world, it starts with a relationship with Christ. Okay? It starts with a relationship with Christ. But secondly, you're here for a reason. We have good relationships. There's a good example that is being set in this passage 10 through 12. Timothy is following Paul. Paul is following Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Imitate me just as I imitate Christ." So Paul is taking everything he's learned, making sure that Jesus is the role model that he's following, the example that he is following, so that he can be separate from the world and live a godly, righteous lifestyle. Timothy is following, in verse 10 says, "You're following these," and he's following Paul because Paul is following Christ. And the list goes on. Are we following Paul because he followed Christ? Are we following Christ? Or what are we setting our eyes on? And what is our example that we follow in this world? In verse 10, we're called to be different. But you have carefully followed. When you carefully follow something, it's not you see it and you turn away from it, or you see it and you acknowledge it. When you carefully follow something, you study it. You're engulfed in it. You take some time other than just flipping through some pages and you do some research. You notice what's going on. When you carefully follow something, it's not just a classroom setting type deal where you hear what the word is, you know, what word is being preached, but you experience what the words in this book are about. Jimmy always says that. Experience scripture. Experience it. So to be carefully following Paul's example, it is to be meshed with. He was there. He understood. He learned from him on a first name basis. He was hands on with it. It wasn't just separated. He was there. And to maintain that separation from the world, this is what Paul says: "You have carefully followed my doctrine." So doctrine is what we believe. Okay, we know Paul. He was believing the truth. He was believing what Jesus Christ taught. He was believing what, probably pretty much opposite of what the world was teaching. Our doctrine, what we believe, dictates pretty much everything else that falls in line with what we're going to do. If we believe that having sex outside of marriage is fine, we're probably going to have sex outside of marriage. If we believe that going to the bars and getting drunk is fine, we're probably going to go to the bars and get drunk. If we believe that sin is acceptable, we're going to live a sinful lifestyle. That's how it is, because what we believe directly correlates with how we live our lifestyle. But he also says, so you believe, you carefully followed my doctrine, which is the truth, in short, which is God's word. But he also says, you carefully followed my manner of life. He's saying, Timothy, you are following my lifestyle, my example, the way I'm living. And it was a godly type living. He was doing what God had commanded him to do. He was going, he was preaching the gospel. He was sharing the good news with people. And Timothy said, okay, yeah, I see what you're doing. I see how God is working in your life. I see how the Holy Spirit's using you. And I want to do that too. So he followed suit. Not because of who Paul was, but because of who God allowed him to be. The power that God gave him to do all of those things. So his doctrine was in line. What he believed was in line. His lifestyle, the actions that he did because of what he believed in, was in line. He also says, you carefully followed my purpose. Now, I don't know exactly what everybody's purpose is in this church house or at home who's watching, but if it's not the will of God, if your purpose is to do anything other than what God has called you to do and be everything that God has called you to be, it can be an empty purpose. You're going to be clawing for the next thing to look for. You're going to be wondering why you're not satisfied, why you're not fulfilled with the next thing that you're trying to, you know, fill your life with. If it's not what God wants you to do, it's not a purpose worth having. You know, the world chases all these purposes. My purpose is to be happy. My purpose is to make money. My purpose is to have a great job, nice car, all these things. And all those things are empty. But Timothy, because of Paul's example, because of Christ's example, his beliefs are squared away, his lifestyle is squared away, and Timothy now has purpose. He understands that he's working for God. He was created by God for God. Paul also says, you've carefully followed in my faith. What's your faith in? You put your faith and trust in a person? You put your faith and trust in a relationship? Ashley, do you put your faith in me? Oh, to a degree maybe. But you know, but she knows, she might say yes or no, she knows that I don't rely, I don't rely on her for everything. I rely on Jesus Christ to provide it for me. He blessed me with the marriage that I have with her. I'm going to fail her. She's going to fail me. Just like we're all going to, I'm going to fail you guys. Phil's going to fail you. Jimmy's going to fail you. But Jesus Christ, he never fails us. We might not like what he says or what he asks us to do, but that's not failure. That's not him failing us. That's us trying to get a little bit more in line with him. If we have faith in anything other than Jesus Christ and the Word of God, that again can be empty. It's a long road. It's a road that many people walk down. And you think you got friends and you think you got people who are right on track with what you want and what you want to do, but if your faith is in those people or your faith is in that off the beaten path and not the straight and narrow that God's called you to be on, faith ain't in much. Your faith isn't in much. And then Paul goes on to say, and you carefully followed my long suffering, which is patience. Now, I don't know about you guys, but there's some things that work me up. There's some little things that shouldn't work me up, but they do work me up. We were out to eat the other day, and some of you were there, and they forgot to put my order in. And I was sitting there for an hour, starving to death, wondering where my food was. And it turned out that they forgot to put the order in. And I said, hey, it happens. Not upset. You know, it is what it is. And she says, how do you not get upset about that? And then she rattled off these 75 other things, these little things that I do get upset about. It doesn't make sense, but that's how my brain works. That's how I work. But are we allowing ourselves to get worked up about the same things that the world gets worked up about? There's a lot to get worked up about. If you turn on any of the news stations, there's a lot to be worked up about. And there always has been, and there always will be. A lot to be upset about, a lot to grind your gears and having the buttons pushed. But if we're patient and we trust God's word and we trust him to see us through, and we take a step back and we flip on our Holy Spirit lenses and we say, okay, that's how God wants me to see that, and that's how I'm going to react accordingly. And I'm going to react accordingly instead of saying, well, this is how, you know, this side wants me to act and this is how that side wants me to act. We need to be patient. We need to take a step back and analyze the situation from a godly lens and not our own, not a worldly lens. Because if we don't, then are we separate from them? No. I think Jesus has a word for that, and it's hypocrite, but I don't know. Paul also is noticing this in Timothy. He says, you have carefully followed my love. When you know who you are loved by, it makes it so much easier to love people that don't look like you. When you understand that, when you understand that cross and what happened on that cross and who died for you and why he died for you, man, it makes going through this life a lot easier when you understand that. And I don't mean easy in a sense of, you know, we're not going to be, which we'll get to in a second, not in a sense that we're not going to be persecuted, because that's why he was on that cross. But he did it because he loves us. He loves you. He loves you at home. So to love like Christ loved, it's separate. It was a love that wasn't easily understood. We still got to work at it, but we're able. We see the bigger picture. We see the bigger picture. It's not always easy, but through Christ, he makes it able. And then Paul says, you have carefully followed my perseverance. You know, Paul's perseverance was only because what he persevered through, what he fought through, was only because God allowed it. It's not like Paul was walking, doing all these things and ministering to all these people by himself. He persevered because he knew that, yeah, I might die. Yeah, I might get beat. Yeah, I might get this, that, or the other. But because the God I serve, he's going to see me through. And if it costs me my life, well, golly, it's a life worth living. At least to him it was. Should be to us as well. And Timothy's seeing this, and he's following it. He said, I want that too. I want that too. And all along, all these things that we're listing, Timothy is watching Paul live these out. He's not, if I stood up here week after week and told you that, you know, preach the Bible to you, and then as soon as I go down the stairs out the door, you seen me cussing and hitting her and doing all these things of the world, you'd be like, what? Why is he allowed to preach? Why is he allowed to do these things? And it would be silly. You can't preach and live a separate lifestyle. You can't say I'm a Christian or a believer or a disciple of Christ, and as soon as we get out of these walls, you run to your old lifestyle. You can't do it. I mean, you can, but what's it get you? Nothing. It don't get you nothing. We're called to be separate. And Timothy sees Paul living this out. And that's what makes it so encouraging for him. Say, man, my mentor, so to speak, man, he's got it. He has got it. When I was when I first got saved down in Bloomington, I had a guy who led me to the Lord, Daryl McDonald, and we right away I was hungry for the Word. I wanted to learn, and he said, "Man, we got this discipleship. It was Biblical Foundations." So I was like, "Oh, I don't know anything about that, but I want to." And so we'd meet at Arby's on like Thursday nights, like 6:30. And he'd buy me a milkshake, and he'd buy me mozzarella sticks or whatever, and we'd crack the Bible. And we'd sit there for 2-3 hours sometimes and just go through these basic foundations. And he would answer the questions that I had, and I was like, man, this is awesome. This guy actually cares about me. This guy's putting into me. This guy is, I'm following his footsteps, and I know that he loves Christ because his actions outside of Arby's and outside of church and outside of with me, he was the same person inside as he was outside. And I was like, man, I want to be like him because he's like Christ. Not everybody likes it. But it makes it interesting. It makes it, man, it is attainable that they can live like this, and they say they live like that, and so they're going to. We can do it. Not by ourselves, though, but because of Christ, we can do it. And then Paul says to Timothy, he says, you have carefully followed my persecutions and afflictions. Because you see, separation brings opposition. When you're living a life for Christ, and you're living a life that doesn't look like the world, that doesn't match up with the world, you're going to get afflictions and oppositions and persecution. That's what it breeds. You can't get away from it. Now, I'm not talking about getting fired from your job and you say you're a Christian, but you're falling asleep and that's why you got fired. I'm not talking about that. You being a terrible worker and that's why you got fired. And it's because you fell asleep when you're working, not because you're a Christian. I'm talking about doing what God wants you to do, and you get made fun of because of it. You get asked by your family, why do you go to church 3 times a week? Isn't once good enough? You get picked at, you get poked at, you say, you think you're better than me. Well, no, I don't, but since you brought it up, you obviously see something better in me that you don't have that you might want, but they'll never admit it. They'll just keep throwing darts, throwing daggers at you. Keep throwing darts in it, and luckily for us, most of it bounces off. But expect opposition. And he says in verse 11, so persecutions, afflictions, and what happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Timothy sees the example. He sees how Paul is living. He sees that he is on the right track with God. He is doing what God has called him to do. He's being the man that God has called him to be. Timothy sees it. He says, I want that. He follows that. He matches up. He aligns with that. And then it says, you have carefully followed me. And not only the good things that come from being separate from the world, but you've also followed me into persecution. You have followed me into opposition willingly, by the way. And did it because he knew that he was going to make a difference. But I wanted to share with you what actually happened at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. So at Antioch, Paul and Barnabas, and you can read it in Acts chapter, I think, 13 and 14 if you want the full story, but I'm just giving you the cliff notes. Antioch, they got ran out of town for preaching the gospel. Jews were upset that the crowds were gathering, and the Bible says that they were jealous of the masses that were being brought on by Paul and the people and the apostles that were preaching to the people. And like I've talked about before, when God's moving, it draws a crowd, right? Might be a little one, but he draws a crowd. And so the Jews got jealous. They saw the crowds. They're being taken out of their temples to go hear these people, to hear these people preach. And they were drawing them out, and they said they didn't like that. They were jealous. So they ran them out of town. Paul said, that's all right. We'll go on to the next town. And so he gets to Iconium, and he's doing the same thing. He's preaching the word. He's sharing the good news. He's talking to the Jewish people. He's saying, hey, we don't have to live under the law anymore. The law is done. Jesus Christ is the way now. And they didn't like that, because when you believe something for so long, when you get so entrapped in a doctrine, in a belief, and you get told that you're wrong or that there's a better way of doing it, it don't feel good, does it? I know for me it didn't. I know for me it still doesn't when I find out that I'm wrong on something. But if you're wrong, you're wrong. And if we believe God's word for what it is, we know that's the truth whether we believe it or not. We can choose not to believe it, but it still doesn't make it not true. God's word is God's word. So at Iconium, there was a city divided. Paul's going, he's saying, hey, Jesus is the way. The Jewish people are saying, no, the law is the way. And he got apostles versus Jews. And that's what we have. Well, some of the Jewish people stirred up some of the Gentiles and said, hey, what's going to happen is we're going to stone these guys. And some of the Jewish leadership in that town were getting it in the works. Hey, we're gonna stone them. We're going to kill them. We're just going to take care of it right now. So Paul caught wind of it, hightailed out, and he said, all right, on to the next city. Well, that next city happened to be Lystra. And when he gets there, there's a man who had been crippled from birth. Okay, his legs didn't work. Paul healed him on a Sabbath. Paul healed him. People were wondering. As a matter of fact, they said, oh, the gods have come down, the gods that they believed in, pagans and others who were around, the gods have come down and healed him. Paul said, no, I'm not a god. You know, the God who healed him is the creator God. Don't put me on that level, you know. Well, he was so good at making an impression. The Jewish people from the other two towns, Antioch and Iconium, came into the next town. You know, you ever seen the movies when an angry mob gets formed and they got the pitchforks and the torches and they chase you down the street? Well, this is what's happening. So the Jewish people come from the other two towns, meet with the people who Paul is rubbing the wrong way at this town, and says, hey, we're going to take care of this once and for all. So they caught him, and they stoned him. They stoned him, thought he was dead, drug him outside the city, threw his body outside the gate, left him for dead, washed their hands of him. They won. Finally got him. That'll shut him up and everybody else who's watching. Because when you see things like that happen, when you hear about persecution, I don't know if y'all are like me, but when you hear persecutions of people getting beheaded in Africa and all these bad things that are happening in the Middle East, I like to think, man, how do they do it? We have the same spirit, but they're willing to do it. A lot of times people say, yeah, you know what, I don't want to play Christian anymore. Not if it's going to cost me my life. I ain't doing it. I'll do it on Sundays and Wednesdays. But man, when the rubber hits the road, I don't really... Not for me. The people that was with Paul saw that happen and continued to do it. They picked him up and moved him on. And all three of those cities had one thing in common. That Paul was there and he was preaching the gospel. He was sharing the good news with the people. He was trying to help them, share with them the light that he had accepted in his life. And they didn't want nothing to do with it, because that meant they had to change. They had to change their old lifestyle. They had all those things that I read in verse 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's seven of them. They had changed seven things, which was in theory their whole life. To believe started with the doctrine. They had to change what they believed. And they weren't willing to do it. So they said, well, we'll just kill them. We'll just take them out. The world's doing that to us. The world's trying to cut it out. God's word out. The world's trying to nix it. Say, do whatever you want. Talk about whoever you want. Have fun with whoever you want. Sin however you want. I mean, in America, we have a Las Vegas called Sin City. And people flock to it. They love it. They love it. We loved it. Maybe some of us still do. Maybe some of you watching at home still love it. But if you're a Christian and you say that you're a believer, we're called to be separate. But there's always hope, because the latter verse of 11, it says, though I went through all of that, I got ran out of town. They tried to kill me. They didn't. They actually did stone him. It says about out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Praise God. You know, we might not be. I mean, if we're Christians, if we're believers, we have been persecuted in our lives. We're going to continue to be persecuted in our lives. If we're willing to be separated from the world and live a godly lifestyle, it's going to happen. There's no way around it. It's going to happen. Are we willing to let it happen and say that same thing? Out of all of it, everything I've been through, out of all of the persecution that I've been through, wasn't bigger than God. It didn't beat me. It tried to kill me. God said, I ain't done with you. Get up. We got work to do. Because at all of those cities, I left out part of it, all those cities, there were new believers. There were people who said, I like that. They understood that it was the truth. They understood what Paul was saying was not him saying it, but the Spirit working through him. And they said, I want that. And so they got it. And so as they scraped Paul off the floor and got him cleaned up the next day, guess what happened? I mean, you can read it in Acts 14, but guess what happened? I'll tell you anyways, so you don't have to read it, but I encourage you to. He gets up, and he goes back to those same three cities for a purpose. And it was to strengthen and encourage and build up the believers that he had witnessed to. Who does that? Who does that? It doesn't make a lick of sense to me. You almost got killed at this town. You got ran out of this town. They were gonna kill you at this town, and you're gonna go back? What? Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't have to make sense. That's what God called him to do. And because he was separate from the world, he did it. You know, we don't make sense to the world. People don't understand why we would rather spend our Sunday mornings and evenings in this building with our brothers and sisters in Christ than we would hanging out with them, drinking or playing golf or whatever it may be. They don't understand it. We're weird to them. I find comfort in that, because God's word says we're going to be weird to them. Not those exact words, but that's what we have to look forward to. That's what we have to look forward to. And the longer I continue my walk with Christ, the more I get involved, and the more I try to carefully follow His example, and the more I'm willing to be weird, the more I'm willing to be separated from the world, the more I'm willing to speak out for what I believe in love, because I understand the doctrine that I'm following. I know what my lifestyle has got to be like. I know what my purpose is. I know who I have put my faith and trust in. I know I can work on my patience, my long-suffering. I know that. We all can. But we can all work on all these things. I know who loves me. I know that God's going to see me through whatever I go through, if it's in His will for me to do it. But I also know that doing all those things, I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to be opposed. But it's fine. Because we have built our we know what our foundation is. It ain't going nowhere. It's solid. We're going to be able to stand on that for till we die or till he comes back. We're going to be there. And I don't see a better solution or a better, I don't see a better option than to be everything that God has called us to be as an individual, as a church, as a body of believers. It's the best thing we can do is whatever He's called us to do. In closing, I'd like to share this with you. Acts chapter 14, verse 22, Paul says, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." Expect opposition. Expect it. If we want to live separately from the world, four takeaways from tonight to encompass everything. You have to have a relationship with Christ. You've got to be saved. Otherwise, you're going to be just like them. You're going to be just like the world. You're going to be lost. So first, in order to live this lifestyle, understand what Paul is saying, or what Paul is saying to Timothy here. We got to be saved. We have got to have a relationship with Christ. Because he's the model example, after all. He was the only perfect person that's ever lived in this world, and the only perfect person that's ever going to live in this world. So I said that's a pretty solid example to be following. Secondly, allow the Holy Spirit to influence your decisions in everything. Pray about it. Ask Him. What are we doing? How do we do it? We prayed about selling our house. Pray about buying cars. We pray about pretty much everything. We seek His counsel. I believe what He preached on, godly wisdom. What the heck do I know? Nothing. I know that I would have ended up in hell had it not been for Jesus Christ. That's what I know. So why am I going to consult with myself about what to do when I got the guy who pulled me out of it? He said, "Now I got a better way." I wouldn't. I hope you don't. I'm not anymore. Seek godly role models and mentors to encourage you is the third takeaway. It's hard. This world is hard. The world is hard enough when you're doing it by yourself, even when you are a Christian. Have somebody that pours into you. Have somebody that's willing to help you through these times. Say, "Hey, I've been through this. I've done this. Here's how God led me through this. Here's what God's Word says about X, Y, or Z. Oh, you went through that? Yeah, here, let me show you how me and my wife got through it. Let me tell you how me and my wife did this," or whatever. We can clearly see that Paul was a great role model for Timothy. He followed it. Be the person, not only seek those, but be those to people as well. Don't just look and try and take. Give back. Pour into the next generation of Christians. Be a person for Christ that people want to follow. And lastly, number four, expect persecution. I told you at the beginning, you can be separate from the world and persecuted by them, or you can be with them and be loved by them. And the choice is ours. Choice is ours tonight. Choice is yours at home tonight. You got the same choice. You heard the same word. Now you get to make a choice. So as we stand and the music plays, the altar is open for anybody, whatever you'd like to pray about tonight. Maybe it is making that choice of saying, "You know, I want to be separate from the world. I haven't given my life to Christ. I'm still trying to do it by myself.